This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, thanks for listening to the Aftermarket's foundational podcast as part of the Aftermarket Radio Network. I'm your host, Carm Capriotto. Hey, don't forget, head over to my website, remarkableresults.biz, for every archived episode. You know, recently I had the chance to meet some inspiring young people in our industry, and I wanted to be sure that you had the chance to experience exactly what I did. I brought three of them together, and I think you'll agree if we're grooming our young talent the proper way, and they've got the fortitude like these three do, then our future is in strong hands. Hey, we've got great partners on the podcast, and thank you to Shopware and Broadly for providing this episode. Hey, when was the last time you ordered something online? Like a burger from Grubhub, your groceries from Amazon. How about things that are really high-tech, like auto repair, because it's what we do. Shopware's online interactive repair orders lets you do just that. Check it out for yourself on the web at getshopware.com. And by the way, are you missing out on customers who call the shop during off hours? Well, with Broadly's web chat feature, customers can get the answers that they need even when you're not in the shop. Check it out at getbroadly.com/chat. Now, let's jump into this episode, and I promise you'll be inspired. I love this crew, and I so thank the people that they work for helping me put this together. Edgar Reyes is with us, Service Director of Schertz Auto Service in Schertz, Texas. Hello, Edgar.
Hey there, Carm. Thank you for having me here. It's a huge honor. Been a big fan of your show, so this is a really big deal and sort of a bucket list out of on my life, definitely checked off.
Well, great. Thank you. And I'm honored to have all of you guys here, as I appreciate all the great wisdom that you're bringing. Two operations, Schertz, Texas. One of the things that I got to tell you about Edgar is we actually did a podcast at Apex with two of his owners. And what was really cool, I was getting an update from their two owners, and Edgar was with them, and I says, bring Edgar in. And actually, Edgar, we haven't published that episode yet, but you stole the show. I just want you to know that.
You did
a great job. Ethan Smith is also with us. Service advisor is at Casey Automotive Chantilly in Sterling, Virginia. Hey, how you doing, Ethan?
Good, Carm. I appreciate being back on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, you've been on before. Great. And when I met Ethan for the first time on a show, 20 years old. Ethan's 20 years old. Edgar, you are 26.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Wow. That's why this is going to be an amazing episode, because I think you need to listen to some of the movers and the shakers in their early 20s in our industry. Nate Fink is with us, technician at Dynamic Automotive, Frederick, Maryland. Hello, Nate.
Happy to be here, Carm. Thanks for having me.
Technician, and I'll spill the beans. Nate, 23 years old, but has been with Dynamic for 5 years. Incredible. I mean, right out of high school.
Yep, they found a way to keep me around right out the gate, so.
Oh, great, Megan. Thank you. I hope all the members of Yang, actually, the Young Automotive Networking Group, Yang, great group. Nate, what drew you to Dynamic 5 years ago?
I worked at my uncle's shop when I was a kid, you know, so I was already familiar changing tires, doing alignment, stuff like that. You know, it was as simple as, you know, an ad on Craigslist is how I got started here. You know, it was that easy. You know, once I got started and kind of got a feel for things, the environment, you know, what's going on here, that's really what, you know, sealed the deal. Getting to know everybody and kind of figuring out the dynamic here, you know, that's what kept me around.
Let's mention the fact that both Nate and Edgar were at Apex this year. Guys, what an opportunity at such a young, if you will, tenure in your company and in the industry. Nate, both Edgar, I'll ask you both the same question. Nate, what was your impression of getting a chance to be with some of your team at Apex?
Apex was a blast. I loved it. The training was second to none. I was very impressed with, you know, the material the instructors had for us. And, you know, once I got a taste of Apex, I definitely set my sights on Vision and was, you know, pressing to find out more about that.
So you're trying to get on the Vision list this year in March. Yeah.
I'm on it.
Oh, you're on it. How'd you do that? I mean, was it a little payola to
it wasn't hard.
My friend Dwayne? All right. Okay. Hey, Edgar, what did you take away from Apex?
Being on your show was definitely a big highlight. Like I said earlier, I'm a big fan, so a little starstruck there. I attended a few classes that were just amazing. You can't never have enough training. I firmly believe that. So training was, like Nate said, amazing. I have no complaints. And of course, just being able to see and meet so many other people from the industry, people who, a lot of people there who actually want to sort of do what we're doing already, be the top 1% of their shops, stay ahead of the curve, be the shops that are out there that are doing better for their customers, their teammates. And at the end of the day, you know, just doing whatever it takes to be the top dog. So.
Well, so glad to hear that. Ethan, let me ask you a question. If you were speaking to a friend of your parents, you happen to be involved in some kind of community event, and they come up to you and says, "Hey, Ethan, I see where you're working. It sounds pretty exciting. I'm not sure what my son wants to do. He's kind of in middle school. He likes to work with his hands. Would you recommend the automotive service repair industry?"
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, so when it comes to this industry, I think it's one that's usually overlooked, because when people think about really our industry, they don't really think of the crazy and immense opportunities that you receive while being in this industry. Honestly, before I had even thought about coming into this industry myself, it really wasn't a thought that I had. I had an interest in cars to begin with, so it kind of helped knowing kind of where I wanted to go. But my original plan for my career path was not even close to this industry. I had actually received guidance from people that I knew that told me, "Hey, you know, you've got an interest in this, you know, why not pursue something related to it?" So, I mean, I'd say as far as industries go, that where you can work with your hands and develop such good experiences and team environments, I think the automotive industry is great. I think that you can learn so much. And I think, honestly, really trades in general, but especially the automotive industry. And I can attest for this. I mean, the people that I am surrounded by, that I work with, I mean, there is so much knowledge and experience and opportunity that you can gain from those around you. So I'd 100% recommend to people, hey, you know, if you've got a son or a daughter or whoever it is that wants to pursue a career path that they're working with their hands, or whether it's specifically with cars, 100%.
Guys, I have a question. We know that the youth of in our culture today, there's a lot that don't have an interest in cars. How are we going to drag them into a service writer position? I mean, there's many, many jobs inside of the automotive aftermarket, from distribution right down to what you guys do. How do we interest people in our industry if they have no interest in cars?
I don't think that it requires an interest in cars. I think it requires a interest in wanting to do better. Something that you see a lot with younger people like ourselves, and even younger than us, some people even that are older with us, we're looking for that higher purpose. What am I doing at my job that allows me to serve not only the people around me, my community, the world, whatever the case may be? Everybody, we all have a little bit of a hero aspect to us, where we want to save the world. And a little bit of that is being able to say at the end of the day, "Hey, today I helped a single mom whose car broke down and didn't have money to take care of it, but I did what I could to make sure that she was safe on the road." It's not necessarily an interest in cars. I think it's an interest in providing that perspective to the people who are coming into this industry. We get so tied up in having cars fixed, being profitable, making our margins, our numbers, and we forget to go out there and really show our technicians what we're really doing here. We're helping people. We're making a difference in the world, even if it's that one person that lives two streets down from the shop. I think that's where we need to focus. That's where we capture our younger audience and new people coming into the business.
If you had a chance to go out and speak to high school, Edgar, do you have to write the speech, or just get it there and speak your passion and your purpose?
I have stage fright, so I definitely have to write something.
I don't believe that.
I've been told that before. I don't believe it. So I don't believe that I don't have it. So
you have to have passion and purpose. I think that's what you were really saying.
Agreed. Yes. Not passion. I've grown to dislike that phrase and that word. And Ego is Your Enemy, which is a book that was suggested to myself at Ratchet and Wrench. It presents this idea of passion versus purpose, right? And I think that passion gets us a lot of places because passion does have its place and it does matter a little bit. At the end of the day, if you don't like what you're doing, you're not going to be in it to win it. The thing with passion is sometimes we get wrapped up in our heads of what we want to do, what we're going to achieve, how we're going to do it and how it's going to look when we get there, and forget to do anything. And we get trapped in this sort of state of just doing nothing and being completely unproductive. When you put purpose behind it, when you are doing things with a purpose, like I am here to help that person, then your mentality changes and it becomes more of doing something, having an action attached to it rather than this thought and idea. So,
very good. Thank you so much. Nate, I want to talk to you a little bit about the culture that we continue to hear. It's a big topic inside of what we do here at the podcast. And I know there are more shop owners out there that are working very hard to build a very big and strong culture, because if you got a great culture, you retain great employees, you have, it just leaks out to the customer base, and you can actually hire a lot of great superstars. And Nate, I've been at your place. The culture is phenomenal. Is that what drives you to come to work each and every day?
I'd say so, yeah. You know, this ties into the point Edgar made earlier as well. I think, you know, the big draw is customer service or community service, in essence. Our company is a community of like-minded individuals. We all know, you know, why we're here. We all know what we're doing. We all know what we're supposed to do. And, you know, we can all kind of relax, keep things easy going, you know, lighthearted. We can have fun. Everybody's, you know, just fairly friendly, chummy. And that definitely, you know, makes a big difference. And when you're rolling out of bed, getting ready to go to work, you know, that day when you can look forward at, you know, hanging out with your buds and palling around, that definitely helps a lot. But as I said, everyone here, you know, is of a similar mindset. You know, we're all looking each day, how can we help our community? You know, how can we do a little bit better? How can we, you know, how can we help out and, you know, pay it forward? Other people who would be a good fit, they'll find their way to you. And people who, you know, maybe don't share that same sentiment, you know, they'll weed themselves out.
Guys, any other comment on culture? Because I believe you guys all work for high culture companies, and I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
I 100% agree with a lot of what both Nate and Edgar said. I think when it comes to doing good work, you know, having high productivity and doing things efficient, I think that it's super important, really, whoever you are. I know that managers especially have this role in a company, but I know that regardless of who you are, it really helps to create an environment where, I mean, and myself included, I get up every morning and I'm excited to go to work because I know that not only am what I'm doing, but I have an interest in, but there's also, like Edgar said, a purpose behind why I do what I do. It's just helping to motivate each other through creating such a good culture. Really, I mean, honestly, seeing it firsthand really, really does help. Back to what Edgar said about having a certain purpose. Not everybody's going to have an interest so much in what specifically their job pertains to, you know, whether it is automotive. But I think what at least my focus is knowing that when I have those customer service interactions, or whether it's, you know, coworker interactions, I know that there's always something that I can do to look out for that person or build a connection with them that is just awesome. It's just having that one-on-one interaction with a customer and being able to really change their day. Because, I mean, bottom line, cars are stressful. They really are. They're how we get to and for work, how we go to family events, emergencies if we need it. I mean, it's a stressful part of our lives. And I think that we have such a prime opportunity to better or lessen that stress with people, where that's honestly what I love.
You have said that you love to be the educator of the customer.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's awesome because, I mean, everybody is going to have a different level of knowledge about their vehicle or whatever problem they have. And I mean, when you talk to customers on the phone or in person, whether it's a price shopper, I mean, whatever it is, there's such a good opportunity to be an educator for people and in a way that helps them relieve whatever pain that they're dealing with, you know, whether it is related to their car or something else that's just stemmed off of their car. I think I even mentioned this the last time that we did one of these, that instead of people going online and searching up, hey, what's wrong with my car? The first thing that they think of is, let me call Ethan, let me call Nate, let me call Edgar, you know, let me ask them what I need to do in order to fix this problem.
Listen, you don't have to go to Google. Let me be your Google.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's one hell of a way to talk to. Well, I went on Google, Edgar, and I typed this in thing with my battery, and I think I know what's wrong with my car.
Right.
Listen, Mrs. Smith, let me be your Google.
Yeah, right. And instead you get a call that says, you know, hey, Nate, hey, Edgar, something's wrong with my car. I don't know what it is. I need you to help me out. I need you to look at it. I really don't know what I'm dealing with here. And then you get that opportunity to be that educator, you know, correctly. Because, I mean, cars are complicated. Google can give you a number of different things. It's like if you look up, you know, I'm sick, what's wrong with me on Google, and you get a million different things. I mean, it's having somebody that you can go to and you can rely on to sort of be a manager for your vehicle and that whole aspect of life that you have to deal with.
Hey, Carm here. Are you sitting down and discussing career goals with your people, especially our young ones? And are you listening? Have you ever switched shop management systems and were left high and dry without data migrations? The software world can be a tough one, especially if your software provider isn't supporting you in the way you need them to. My expert recommendation, switch to Shopware today. With best-in-class onboarding, year-round support, and data migration experts at your fingertips, Shopware won't leave you wanting more. Listen, their team is one of the most dedicated in the business when it comes to servicing their clients. So they're going to do what it takes to get you up and running seamlessly. Shopware currently supports data migrations for more than 150 shop management systems, and they're constantly adding more. If you're thinking, ugh, I come from an unsupported SMS. Well, rest assured, their team will do the legwork for you to evaluate capabilities and provide a data migration solution. So, kick your feet up and visit GetShopware.com. You won't be disappointed. Would you ever consider going to a restaurant you've never heard of without first checking the reviews on Google? Well, probably not, right? Now think about someone who has to bring their car, one of their most valuable possessions, into a shop they haven't heard of. They're probably going to want to read some Google reviews first to make sure that they're going to a reputable place. Broadly is focused on helping auto shops increase their number of reviews on Google. Now they know that that's one of the best ways to build trust with potential customers and get your business discovered online. Google reviews are going to make you stand out from your competition and get more customers coming into your shop. Trust me, reviews can make all the difference in your business. So what are you waiting for? Get Broadly's system to help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of five-star reviews. Make the move. Visit Broadly on the web at getbroadly.com/chat and start chatting with a Broadly representative. Learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Hey, I want to tell you about an episode we did just about 1 year ago with Dr. Dave Wyman. It was managing holiday stress amid the pandemic. And who would have thought that 1 year later, this episode has value? And I really want you to go, and if you can't find it deep down inside your player, go to my website, or just, you know, go on your mobile device, go to my website, type in 593 in the search bar, and listen to this. Great guy, Dave. We're going to do more episodes and stuff together, but a very, very nice episode. Hey, you mentioned the book Ego is the Enemy, Edgar, right?
Yes.
We'll make sure that's up on the books page on the website. Guys, what is it that you ask your employer for that you need as additional tools, be it training, environment, equipment? Let me start with you, Nate.
First and foremost, money. You got to pay to play. But I think that, and especially in this day and age too, furthering education. You know, primary level, just getting your feet wet. You know, you're at a secondary level like myself. You know, you've been doing it for a few years. You know, you've already got, you know, that experience under your belt and you're getting in the nitty gritty a little deeper, or, you know, so on and so forth. Especially, as I said earlier, in this day and age where I'd venture to say we're going through a bit of a technological revolution currently in the auto industry. I mean, it's all coming down the pipeline. We've seen over the last few years as manufacturers try and squeeze more and more fuel efficiency out of their platform, and slowly have been pushing hybrid platforms more and more. And now we're taking the plunge into, you know, full electric vehicles. So things are changing rapidly. Training and, you know, tools and all that, they've got to keep up. If you're stagnating and you're not chomping at the bit, then you're falling behind.
Nate, are you getting the kind of training that you know you need?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, you mentioned earlier when you're talking about, you know, these industry events like Apex, you know, and Envision and stuff like that, you know, you're seeing the best and the brightest guys out there. You can take a lot of good information, stuff that, you know, you'll learn something in a class, and when you fly back home, you can implement it right in your shop and, you know, fix the car that much quicker.
So think about the investment that was made from the ownership team at Dynamic to take, I don't know, were there five or six of you that went?
There were eight of us total at Apex, so it's definitely a very serious investment, but, you know, as long as it's placed wisely, it, you know, it pays dividends.
Yeah, that's the point. We've done enough talking on the shows, but it's great to have the people that are receiving this benefit on the show to talk about the value that they feel by attending these events. And I guess the point is that we're trying to make to the entire industry is please, please, please invest in your people and take them to these events, because there is nothing like the integration in that event, meaning you're meeting people, you're shaking hands. And frankly, guys, and Ethan, have you not been to a really big event, an industry event, Ethan?
I have not yet, no, but I would love to.
You do need to go. But Edgar and Nate, you probably get a phenomenal idea of the size of our industry when you get there.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, Edgar, what do you need from Mark and John? What have you been asking them for to make your job bigger and better, the things that you do there?
Guidance. They provide a lot of training on up and incoming things, just like Nate was mentioning, new technology, new things like that. However, they have something that I don't have, and that's years of experience. You can't quite teach that as well as you would teach a certain subject, right? So John has been working very, very hard to put everything that's in his brain down on paper, and that way I have a reference on things that I don't know, but I'd like to know. And it's part of our onboarding process now. It's evolved into something much bigger than that. And it's just sharing that knowledge and that experience that they have. And sometimes I don't know I need it until we run into a certain situation where it comes up. That's really all I ask for. Some guidance, some coaching, everything else is already provided. Sometimes I do come across a training class or a webinar or something like that I'd like to see. And I, you know, I ask, hey, do you think this is right for me? Because I do play the I'm young and I don't know any better card sometimes. And I'm like, hey, so I'm interested in this. I just don't know if it's right for me. And most of the time we'll read through the description together and be like, okay, yeah, this is a class that we should take. Or no, you know what? This is a good class, but this class over here will be more of your speed, more of where you need to be.
I find this fascinating because Edgar is really talking about, you know, ego's the enemy, which is, I'm so happy you know that to get off that ego step ladder, it's so important. But you're also talking about the School of Hard Knocks. And, you know, when I started the podcast 6 years ago, we have 1,000+ episodes between all of our venues, I started to realize that there's so much wisdom out there that we need to share. And so that people can just be the fly on the wall of every podcast that I do is, I don't know what I don't know, but whoa, there's a great way that someone solved that, or there's an idea on how to fix this and change that. And you cannot stop being a perpetual student. And because your wisdom comes from failing forward, learning from your mistakes, but also listening to other people. You know, having that two ears listen, one mouth talk, right? You should listen twice. Ethan, what have you been asking for? What is it that you need to do a much better job at in your role?
Honestly, with the amount of exposure that I already have. So Brian, the owner of Casey's, he's been a wonderful mentor. He's even allowed me to be a part of Rena, who I know has been on your show before, be a part of her Empowered Advisor program. And I mean, just, you can definitely tell that the investment is there into making sure that we have the right knowledge and exposure and opportunity to what'll help make us better. I at least know that one of the things that also does motivate me as well, especially right now, being as young as we are, I think it should be, is exposing yourself to as much as possible and absorbing as much information as possible too. And back to even the business culture, I mean, the people that I'm surrounded with at work, I mean, there is so much information and so much of their experience, shows through their actions and gaining those impressions from them. And I mean, there's just, honestly, there's so much. I'd love to go to Apex.
Tell them that Apex is on your wish list.
Right.
If they listen to the episode here, they're going to realize that right away.
Carm, I saw a question come up from a gentleman by the name of Peter. Is there a way we could see that again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So he asks, who takes the lead in education? Definitely the vendors, suppliers, and the trade organization. These events like Apex and Vision, are no holds barred, the best of the best. As well as, we get a lot of valuable training too from our suppliers. WorldPack offers classes, you got CarQuest Technical Institute, all that good stuff. But, one point I wanted to make is he had automakers on there. And, as far as I'm concerned, they want to keep it all to themselves. It's us against them. They do not want to release any sort of information, training, anything that's going to benefit the aftermarket. They're going to keep that for themselves.
Absolutely. And Peter, it was thank you for being here. Worked with Peter a long time ago in corporate America. Glad to have you. So guys, we've got virtual, we've got leader-led, we've got all the conferences, we have networking. There's no reason not to be successful. We have the business coaches. We have the 20 groups. There's no reason not to be successful. Let me just say that I've got this wonderful idea. I'm impressed with this 26, 20, and 23-something people that are on this show talking incredibly intelligently, smart. They've got a command of this industry and of their job. Where is their 20 group? Where is their networking group in our industry? Maybe I got to start one and just bring, call it the Young People's Forum. That's kind of interesting. The Young People's Forum, YPF. Anyway, but listen to this intelligence, and then everybody pushes the next person up and holds each other accountable. I think you guys would be a great start of a Young People's Forum in the industry. Hey, Ethan, I want to go back to you. You had told me that you have a goal of being a shop operator yourself.
When the thought was presented to me to join the industry, and what I wanted to do was I wanted to gain as much as possible that you could gain from the industry. I know that extends farther than a shop operator or an owner. My original plan was to start as a technician, gain some technical experience, become a service writer at some point or another, hopefully move up as a shop manager. And then once I felt that I had enough information to branch off and open an automotive shop, that's something that I really strongly want to do. I hope one day that I get the opportunity to.
What's your timeline?
At least the conversations that I've had with one, my wife, my parents, her parents, is hopefully doing that within the next 5-10 years. That's at least when I'd like to do that. But I definitely think there's still a lot more they need to learn, for sure.
Look, let's just make a broad statement to the industry. This group of guys, Edgar's 26, Ethan's 20, Nate's 23, they are smart. They have aspirations and career pathing ideas, not only within your own company, but maybe personally, like Ethan has, to own a shop. Maybe Nate and Edgar also do too. Let's remember something as an industry. We as owners, we as the leaders of our industry, need to encourage that. Just don't keep them huddled in the nest and say, well, they're so good, I can't let them go. We need new, young shop operators someday to take over, buy our place, franchise. I mean, we cannot, at the average age of our technicians that are out there, it's in the 50s. We have to worry about a youth movement, and we have to help create it. So proud to have this episode with you guys on it so that we can maybe excite some kind of career pathing. You guys agree with me?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And Carm, if I can make another point, what I'd really like to say is that I think that a lot of automotive shops are becoming so close to, if not better than, like a lot of the dealerships. A big reason why it at least motivates me to do that someday is to make the transition from people wanting to go to the dealership because they don't, you know, the mindset that people hold about, you know, being a technician or being a part of the automotive industry, changing that perspective and that reputation and that focus into saying, you know, hey, you know, whether it is with a dealership or not, you know, the aftermarket, I feel like can be better. I feel like we can really get to the point where we're just what people think of.
You're so right. Again, I'll do a little soapboxing here. The customers that support your locations do it because you've become the quintessential dealership alternative. Okay, they don't talk dealerships to their friends and their family because they found someone to take care of them at even the best and better level than the dealerships are. So we're working on an episode coming up calling, you know, why are we better than the dealerships? And I think every once in a while you got to serve the reality of why we're so much better. Then that doesn't mean that every shop in America is deserving to be the dealer alternative. But the goal of the podcast in advancing the aftermarket is to get these stories told, is to get some, you know, if you will, chop through the granite that holds a lot of people back. Thank you so much for that. Edgar, I want to kind of try to put a bow on this, but I know how important communication is and how critical your role in the company is to communicate at all levels. Give us your scenario on that.
Let me take a step back because I have a little bit of a comment on what Ethan and you were saying a little bit earlier. In our area, our shops, both of our locations, are not a dealership alternative. The dealership is an alternative to us.
I'll buy that.
That's because we are so much better, and everybody knows it. Our teammates know it. Our customers know it. Everybody in our area who knows us and has done any kind of business with us knows it.
If I get sick, anytime you want to come in and take over and host any of my shows, you absolutely can, Edgar. Thank you for that. And thank you for the reality check. I like that. Thank you.
I like the confidence.
Yeah. So communication. That's definitely a vital thing in day-to-day operations, and not only for day-to-day operations and the success of the shop, it's crucial for the success of myself. It's very simple, and I'll take you back to when I was a technician when I started here at Schertz Auto Service. I sat down with John, one of the owners, and David, who is another one of the part owners, and I told him, hey, I want to be your shop foreman one day. And you need to tell me what I need to do to make that happen. When I am able to be open and communicate with them, this is what I want. How can I make that happen? I'm able to get some very candid and realistic feedback on, okay, this is where you are and this is where you need to go. And together we can come up with a plan of how are we going to get there. Obviously, later on, my goal changed and being a part or being the shop foreman was no longer my goal. I wanted to become the operator of the shop. And I sat down again and I communicate that with John and David, and they were able to guide me and tell me where I need to go and what I need to do to make that happen. And as we sit here today, you know, obviously it worked because I'm here and that's what I do. Because I had leadership who, when I communicated with them and they communicated with me, I was able to meet my goals and the business goals. I want to be able to be that person for all of my teammates. Therefore, sometimes you have to realize who you have in your team. A lot of times, most of the time, people don't want to tell you what they want. They'll wait for you to tell them what you expect. We are very good at setting goals and setting expectations, but we have to become even better at listening and knowing what they expect from us, getting the expectation and getting the goals that they want us to meet. When we're able to have that two-way communication and having those goals being set in two ways, you can make every team a winning team, and you can assure that the people you have in your team are going to be successful.
Wow. I don't know about you, but that was a great summary. I think we're going to actually make that your last word. Thank you so much, Edgar. And by the way, Nate, Ethan, you guys can come in and pinch hit for me anytime, too. I wasn't trying to single anyone out. You guys have been just phenomenal here on the show. Nate, let's make this your last word. You're talking to a parent. What would you tell a parent about having their young person who's looking for a career in the skilled trades about why they would want to come and work for the the automotive aftermarket?
This ties into, you know, something we were discussing earlier about getting involved in the trades and all that, and kind of what I was speaking to earlier. You know, the trades are great. You don't want to go to school. You don't want to go to college. You know, you want to find something else to do. That's fine. But as you know, as I was kind of alluding to earlier, like, you know, you want to talk about like plumbing or HVAC. Now, I may be wrong, but as far as, you know, my knowledge, that industry really hasn't changed very much in the last 5-10 years. But, you know, automotive, every month we got something new coming, some new development, new technology. Things are constantly changing. The need for bright young technicians has never been higher. And, you know, also we spoke earlier about how it's not just the guy out in the shop turning the wrench. You know, it's the whole service department behind him. It's the parts distributors. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And one thing that always stuck with me, an instructor from a CTI class used to always say, no matter how bad things get, you know, how bad the economy is, who we're at war with, you know, you name it, no matter how bad things get, people are always going to buy food. They're always going to drive their cars. And throughout this whole, you know, pandemic mess that we've seen, you know, it's absolutely held true. Businesses have seen so much growth over the last couple of years. Everybody's driving their cars, and that's not going to change anytime soon. This industry is always going to be in very high demand. There's no way you could go wrong.
Thank you for that. I love the comment about the high techness that we are. I've said this before, and I was talking to someone yesterday on the phone, a young person who's working with the shadowing programs in school. And I said to her, and she's going to be on a future episode, I said to her, if computers is really what you want, well, then go apply to Google. And if you didn't get the job there, then join our industry, because we've got more computers to play with, more modules, more, you know, networks, more buses, more Ethernets than anyone would ever want to shake. And guess what? Each and every day happens to be different. It's not like you're going to be programming, you know, something and live with a project for 2 or 3 weeks. Every day is different. And the final word to you, Ethan, what is your pathway to becoming the shop manager?
So as far as, like I said, of those who I'm surrounded by, I mean, there is knowledge and experience that I'm indulging with from those that, I mean, Ryan is someone that I work with. That's our current shop manager at our Sterling location. And I work with him every day. And he's probably the person that I spend the most time with out of everybody. It's one, knowledge and experience, but it's also to just setting yourself up for success whenever that time does come. Outside of specifically our industry, I'm enrolled in classes right now in our local community college to get a specialized associate's degree in business management. So not specifically pertaining to the automotive industry, but a lot of what I've learned from my classes so far, being 2 semesters in, has really been beneficial, not just to what opportunities I'll have then, but even still right now. I mean, the biggest thing as far as pathway, I'd like to in the next year or two, or whenever I get the opportunity to. But I think that what'll help prepare me for it is just, like I said before, absorbing as much as I possibly can with the time that I'm given right now, because there is just so much opportunity and information, especially.
This went beyond my expectations. Thank you so much for being here. I'm honored to have you guys on. And there is no doubt that anyone who's going to listen to this episode today, tomorrow, in the future, as we point people to please go out and listen to this episode, listen to the youth of our industry, get excited about the youth of our industry and how they look at us here. So thank you so much, Edgar Reyes, Service Director, Schertz Automotive in Schertz, Texas, 26-year-old. And all of you have your heads incredibly screwed on in the right direction and tight. So that's a great observation of mine. Thank you, Ethan Smith, Service Advisor, Casey Automotive, Chantilly in Sterling, Virginia. Only 20 years old. What a bright future you have. And Nate Fink, Technician, Dynamic Automotive, Frederick, Maryland. All my great friends down there at the Dynamic Group. Been there for 5 years since he's been 18. He's 23 years old. Thank you, Edgar, Ethan, and Nate. Appreciate you being here. Have a wonderful holiday season, guys.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.